Welcome to Battle Cry. I just want to welcome you to another broadcast, and this is Jim Green speaking, and I just trust that you are ready to get into the Word of God, study, because we're going to cover a little bit more territory today on the subject in spiritual warfare. And we have been looking into scriptures concerning can a Christian have a demon? And as you know, this is controversial. There are a lot of Christians and do not believe this, although they have symptoms, although they have sickness, although they have things wrong with them that they cannot overcome, and they blame everything on the flesh, the workings of the flesh. And I have been studying some of the scriptures that the people use to prove that light and darkness cannot dwell together. And if you've been with me on the past three or four broadcasts, I have taken you to several of the scriptures, the good old favorites, in Corinthians there and other places, where they try to say that the Bible is saying that light and darkness do not dwell together. But if we have studied this, we have looked very closely at the scripture, and it is actually saying the opposite. Light and darkness do dwell together. 100% they do dwell together, but there is no fellowship between light and darkness, and there is no communion between Christ and Belial, and so on and so forth, but they do dwell together. And Paul is saying this should not be. And this is what I'm trying to bring your attention to. If you have things on the inside of you that is tormenting you, that is pulling you away from God, that is harassing you, that is causing pain in your body, why don't you examine the scriptures and see if it's something that could be taken care of by casting it out? Praise God. So if we break through this deception that has been taught in churches, then we can have a victory over the enemy. And you know, the Christian community must recognize the vital importance of aggressive warfare. We are failing to recognize the importance of warfare today in a Christian community. We've got our little building programs going on. We're out beating on doors trying to collect people so we can put X number of people up on our board every Sunday. We're doing all kinds of things to raise money. We're doing a lot of works in a Christian community. One thing we're failing to do, folks, is to expose the wiles of Satan. We're failing to set God's people free that's bound. We want to fleece them. We want to take everything they've got, but we won't give them anything in return. And this shouldn't be. This is a shame on earth that this is happening. You know, we've got our little bingo games going on Friday nights, and got our little bake sales going on. We've got our little gossip parties that takes place, and you know, we got all these little cute things going in churches, but we're not talking about warfare. We're not talking about how to defeat Satan that's causing the problems. The Bible says go to the root of the problem. And for God's sake, Satan is the root of the problems that we have in churches today. And he's the force behind everything evil that's going on. So we want to learn to exercise dominion over the powers of darkness. See, we must learn how to do this in order to set the people free that's bound. And I know that there's churches, numerous churches covering this city alone, that people go and gather at the church nights, the meeting nights, and they are bound inside. They're bound by fear. They're bound by frustration and anger. They're bound by all kinds of illnesses and diseases in the body. And yet they just talk about, well, let's just talk about the blessings of God. Let's talk about how we can get more money together and build a bigger building so we can collect more people. Brother and sister, all that's being done is building bigger tombs for the dead. They act like Jesus Christ is still on the cross. Jesus Christ wants us to learn tactics of warfare that we can come against Satan that's causing people to be sick and bound and living in fear and poverty. Well, I'm one to want to talk about this. And I know we get a lot of persecution. They think we got off the deep end because we talk about Satan. Well, I want to let you know God has called me to be a mouthpiece to expose the wiles of the devil. And this is my calling. This is what I'm doing. And by the response we are receiving on this subject, we are doing a pretty good job. And we give the glory to God because God is reaching into the hearts of the people and begin to pull back the mask of deception and traditions of men that has been put over and calling it truth. And it's about time we take off the mask and look at the scriptures for what they really are. Praise God. It says the truth will make us free. Right? It didn't say how it would make us free. It just said it would. So let's put in practice some of the things that we're learning. So you just stay with the other broadcast, and we're going to see some liberation in your own walk with God. You know, the non-Christian community, they're more aware of the spirit realm than we Christians are. And it's a shame. They're more aware of what's going on. And this ignorance places the believer in a losing position in battle. Did you know that? When we're in ignorant over a certain subject, that we are a loser when it comes to battling that very thing? See, we must learn the tactics of war in order to defeat the enemy. Now, I want you to know that the Bible says that the Lord is a man of war. See, we've got a God of our imagination built today in the Christian circles, okay? We've grown cold in our relationship with God. We've grown materialistically minded. We're in a place of compromise and stagnation as Christians. We want to use God as a priest, but not a king. A priest is one that offered sacrifices and blessings, but a king is the one that ruled over the people. We do not want God to rule and govern our lives, do we? We want just the blessings that we can go about our merry way and having fun, you know, hoping we'll make it in. But God is a man of war. He always has been. He always shall be. But He also is a God of love. But He also is a God of judgment and righteousness. But we've almost forgot about the judgment side of God, that we are going to give account for what we've done in this walk. And did you know that there's curses put on God's people for not going into battle and standing in the day of the Lord? I've read these scriptures before. How much greater in this dark hour, when we are supposed to be teaching all nations, discipling the nations, and teaching them to observe all things that's written in the book here, and yet we find ourselves building walls around our little denominations, trapping ourselves within those things, and we die inside of the walls that we built up. We're not teaching nations. We're teaching them our particular denominational doctrines, folks. Let's tear the walls down and let's teach the Bible. Let's teach them what the Word of God says. Let's lay hands on the sick and pray for them. Let's cast demons out of the one that's bound. Let's teach them the Word of God. Let's teach them doctrine. We need it. We need to teach the foundational principles of being saved, born again, water baptism, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Ghost, receiving the gifts of God. I just want to take a minute here to talk about being a supernatural person. God does not want us to be carnal Christians. He wants us to be supernatural people, where we can demonstrate God's power. We can exercise dominion over sin, sickness, devils, whatever it may be that gets in our way. It would keep us from obtaining that high calling in Christ Jesus. And I was teaching this last night in the service, and I just feel impressed today, just to mention it, that in Corinthians it talks about the supernatural gifts or the charismatic gifts that God has placed in the body of Christ. And if you're born again, you are set in the body of Christ. And let's take heed to what God has given us as weapons. These are weapons that we can use in warfare. And they're divided in three divisions here. Let's look at the speaking ministry, or the vocal gifts that God has put in the body of Christ. The word of prophecy. God has put the word of prophecy in our midst where God can speak to us and will edify the body of Christ. He has given us the gift of tongues. And tongues tells us very plainly that we edify ourselves, and we can edify or speak to God in an unknown tongue. And then He gives us interpretation of tongues. When there needs to be a prophecy going forth in the body of Christ, that tongues can be interpreted for the edification of the body of Christ. This goes beyond what natural man can do, because this is a supernatural move of God's Spirit. Let's talk about the knowing ministry, or the revelation gifts that God has put in the midst of us. The word of wisdom. We need to be wise. We do not need to be wise in our own conceit, but we need to know God's mind. The word of knowledge. Discerning of spirits. Now listen, God put the discerning of spirits in the body of Christ. Why did He put it in the body of Christ? Because we have need of it. And you know what? We can talk about all these other eight gifts the charismatic gifts. But one thing we're failing to recognize today in the Christian community is that we must exercise the discerning of spirits. I want you to know it did not say the discerning of flesh. It said discerning of spirits. And it doesn't say good spirits. We know it's talking about discerning of Satan's spirits. Discerning of devils, mind you. This is what it's talking about. We have need of that in the body of Christ. Why? That we can discern what is wrong with us and cast it out. We are failing to exercise this. And a lot of times we're talking about, oh, it's just the flesh. It's just my personality. This is what we've been taught. This is tradition. It's been passed down for years. And we've almost believed it as truth. And it's nothing but a lie. A lot of the things that are wrong with Christians today is spirits working within them. It's not just the flesh. We're supposed to cast off the works of darkness. In other words, quit living in sin. Quit doing the things that of sin, of the world. Cast them off. But when it comes to spirits that residing on the inside of it, it says cast them out. And this is why we need the discerning of the spirits. And this is something that we know beyond what we can understand with our natural mind, our reasoning. Now let's talk about the doing ministry of the power of gifts. Praise God. We need to exercise the power of faith. You know, without faith we cannot please God. Miracles. We need to see more miracles taking place in God's churches today. We need to see it. I see a small portion, but I want to see a lot more. And you know, miracles are not limited for somebody's arm to grow out or their foot to grow out 2 or 3 inches. Paul did special miracles, it says in the book of Acts, when he sent out parts of his apron and the unclean spirits departed from the people. Those were special miracles wrought by Paul. If you want to see a miracle, cast demons out. That is mentioned as part of miracle working power of God. But yet we are failing to exercise this in churches today. And the gifts of healing, plural. As I went into the scriptures, and I've told you, and you can read it for yourself, sometimes Jesus cast out spirits and then the people were healed. There are spirits of diseases, infirmities, sicknesses in the bodies of God's people that need to be cast out. And this goes beyond what a doctor can do for us. This goes beyond what a psychiatrist and a psychologist can do for us or tell us. It goes beyond what pills can do for us and medications. It's the power of God we need to be exercising in the body of Christ. These 9 gifts was put in the body of Christ. Why don't we go with them? Why don't we exercise in them? We need to exercise. We need to be strong in these things. Praise God. It is for us today. And we need to learn what dominion is and take our dominion over the things that harass and torment us. Praise God. And ignorance keeps us in a place of losing. This is why Christians are walking a defeated Christian walk, is because they do not exercise in the gifts and the power of God Almighty. They are forced. Why don't we believe God? Why don't we believe what's written in His Word? Why do we want to figure out why it won't work? Why don't we believe that it'll work? Praise God. Let's believe God. Now, I want to take you to a scripture that is used against the deliverance ministry, that's used to try to prove that a Christian cannot have a demon residing on the inside of him. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the first chapter here, and I want to read a good old famous scripture that I hear a lot. Verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." Now notice, I want you to notice, I want to read this slowly. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We are talking about a spirit here, okay? We're not talking about flesh, okay? We're talking about a spirit, an entity, something that lives, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, this is what people use to try to say, you're crazy. God has not given us a spirit of fear or a spirit of the devil is what they're really trying to say, but He's given us a spirit of love and a power of a sound mind, which consists of the Holy Ghost. I totally agree with what the Bible's saying. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why should He give us the spirit of fear? Is that a new revelation? But He doesn't say that we don't have fear. All He's saying, God did not give us fear, so why do we fear, Christians? Why are we living in fear? Who has given us that spirit that resides on the inside? It didn't say outside. Fear comes from within us. It comes within us. And we know that power comes from within us. Love comes within us. It comes out of the heart. And a sound mind is within us. It's not on the outside. So why can we say this scripture is saying that a demon can be on the outside and not on the inside? I don't even know where they come up with the idea, why they even use this scripture. It has no relevance at all with the subject we're teaching on here. But since we're on this subject, let's talk about fear, shall we? Let's talk about an age-old enemy that we have. It's called fear. Let's go to the book of Judges real quick here, in chapter 7 of Judges. And it's talking about Gideon. And I want to read in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites unto their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, My own hand hath saved me." Now I want you to know God has always used a small handful of people to accomplish His work. He doesn't need a lot of people. And the reason why we find the reason why in verse 3. "Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. All right? Today we're seeing the same thing in the Christian community. We've got a lot of Christians in the churches. They fill up the pews on Sunday mornings. They're home watching television Sunday nights. But Sunday mornings they come and pay their respect to God. Isn't that nice? I would say 90% of those Christians have a fearful and afraid heart to them. Now, did God give that to them? Of course not. Satan did. But yet they live in fear. They are afraid of this. They are afraid of people. They're afraid of demons. They're afraid of God. They're afraid of responsibilities. They're afraid of getting old. They're afraid of getting sick. They're afraid of dying. All that comes from Satan. God did not give us that spirit of fear. And this is what he was telling to the people here. It says, listen, if you're afraid to go out on the front lines of the battle and face the enemy, then why don't you depart and go back to your tents? And this is what happened. 22,000 left that day. Only a few people will dare enter in on the battlefield in this dark hour, I'm convinced. Too many people have a fearful heart. They are afraid of their own shadow. What causes people to be afraid? Folks, think about it. Why are you afraid being a Christian? It says God given us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. It says He given us power over all spirits. What's the matter with us? Why are we afraid? I can tell you a few reasons why that Christians are afraid. Number one is ignorance. Ignorance. We are afraid of the enemy because we don't know the enemy. We don't know how he operates, and we don't care to know how he operates because we're afraid. The second reason could be we're living in sin, and sin makes us afraid of God. It makes us to face God's righteousness. Then we become afraid of God's judgment against us. We are afraid because we're uncommitted. We're wishy-washy. One day we will walk with God, and the next day we'll play with the world. We're uncommitted, therefore fear enters in. We're unconcerned about things. We're unconcerned about setting people free that's living in chains and bonds and addictions and habits. We're unconcerned about a lot of things. We're only concerned about ourself. We're selfish. That makes us fearful of heart on the battlefront because we're unconcerned about winning over the enemy. As long as we can live our selfish life, and make our little life most pleasant and comfortable as we can, we're unconcerned about anything else around us. Laziness is another reason why we become fearful. We're too lazy to get up and pray. We're too lazy to study the Bible. We're too lazy to go and be committed to any body of Christ. We're too lazy to fast and seek God. And that makes us fearful when it comes to fighting the enemy. I want you to think about this because many of you out there this very day is hearing this and it's speaking to your heart. This is why we have fearful heart. And we open the door for Satan to come in. Now let's go to the book of Luke real quick here. And the verse, or chapter 10. Let me find it here. Praise God. Well, I think I'll just read it instead of taking time to go through the Bible. Luke 10:19, it says, "Behold, I give unto you." Who was he talking to here? He was talking to his disciples. He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions." Now, we don't take this literally. I hope you don't. These represent demon forces, serpentine spirits. This is what this means. "And all the power of the enemy." God has given us power to tread on scorpions and serpents, and He has given us all power over the enemy. Do you hear that? God has given us the power to overcome the enemy, so why do we have to have a fearful heart? Why do we cringe in fear when you talk about demons? I am surprised how many Christians cringe at the name of Satan or at the name of demons. They cringe. They cower in a corner. They crawl under the bed. They want to shut you up because you're exposing Satan and it makes them uncomfortable. Why? You have got a fearful heart, which tells me you have let Satan come into your life and you have put Christ somewhere under the bed. Now listen, if we can have fear in our heart, why can't we have a demon in our heart or in our life, inside of us? It's the same thing. It's still darkness, folks. It's still evil. And it says in Timothy, a spirit of fear. You better think about that. You Christians out there that do not believe that you can have a demon, you better think about if you've got any fear in you, it could be a spirit of fear that needs to be cast out. It didn't say flesh, it said a spirit. Also, we have the spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling inside of us, don't we? We have the Spirit of Truth dwelling inside of us, which is the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Thank God that we can have victory over the enemy. But listen, we must exercise that dominion, people. God wants us to exercise it. If you don't exercise in the things of God, you become flabby. You overeat on the good things. The supposed revelations of God, the deep mysteries of God, the exotic foods of God, and you sit and stuff and stuff and stuff, and you collect and accumulate knowledge, you write books and volumes on what you know, and you're not exercising anything that you've got written down. Shame on you. I know people that think they know everything. They know all the Bible answers, so they say. And they don't exercise in the gifts of God. They don't exercise in the things that God wants us to exercise in. They don't exercise. Therefore, they become overweighted, flabby, weak. Brother, you need to start exercising some of the things in the Bible. And when you do that, you will find you will begin to grow spiritual muscles to where you can lift that shield of faith up when a fiery dart's coming. You will be able to quench them. You'll be able to lift that sword of the Spirit up and begin to fight back when the enemy comes at you like a flood and the roaring lion comes around seeking whom he may devour. You'll be able to put on that helmet of salvation. Your body will be strong enough to hold the armor that will keep us in the day of battle. There are too many spiritual streakers today. They've got the helmet of salvation on and the rest of you is total naked. You don't have any more on. You put your armor in a corner and you say, that's for somebody else that's fanatical. I want to be saved. I want a little fire insurance. I tell you, God help you to stand in the day that's coming. There are some of you out there that's going to cringe in fear at the days that's coming. And you probably are now. You will not stand in the day of the Lord. You will not stand against God's wrath. You will not stand against the onslaught of Satan that's coming like floods upon this nation. You will not be able to stand because you're not standing now. You've got a fearful heart, you're afraid of everything, and you're afraid of God. You're afraid of God is going to find you out. Well, let me tell you, people, God's already found you out. He's got your number. He knows what you're doing. This is why you are coward and you're chicken-hearted. You will not stand on the front lines. You will not dare to get out there and fight with the men. It's because you have fear in your heart. I want you to know God is raising up an army of people in this hour, of people that will not fear Satan. They will stand and face the enemy head on. And not only that, they will go into his territory and begin to destroy his kingdom, that all humanity can be set free. But if you want to sit back in your camp, and you want to sit back and play bingo games and checkers and cards, you go ahead. But bless God, God will have somebody that will go out on the battlefronts and fight the battle. If you want to be a Christian civilian, you go ahead. God is going to have an army in this day. He's going to have a people that will not fear the enemy. He's going to have somebody that will go out there and tackle Satan and will not be afraid. If you want to sit back in your castle of revelations and suppositions and assumptions, you go ahead. But God is going to have somebody that's going to be exercising these gifts that's in the Bible. Praise God. It's so ignorant of us to believe that we are without fear, and yet we cringe, and yet we are half-hearted in our commitment towards God. Responsibility makes us fearful. We're afraid to get up and pray. We're afraid to take our responsibilities. And a lot of you men out there, you're afraid to take the headship of your own home. You're afraid of your wife. You're afraid of your children. You're afraid of everybody. You're afraid to stand and be a priest in your own home. Why? You don't want the responsibility of it. That's why. If you was walking with God and you was committed to God and consecrated to God, brother and sister, I will let you know God would fill you up with power. But if you are filled up with the things of the world and you let that filth of television sets and the rock and roll music and the worldly entertainment come into your life, you let all that darkness in, there's no room for God's power to be made manifest. You better think about some of these things, because God is sick and tired of playing around with His people today. I'm telling you what, He is going to unleash some judgment one of these days upon His people. And we are going to be caught unawares when that day comes. But we need to get down to business with God. Praise God. And you know what? We have power in our tongue to be losers or overcomers. It depends on what we confess. It depends, don't it? Praise God. What do you want to do with your walk, Christians? You want to go to church and let the preacher do it all? And then you go out and live for yourself the rest of the week? I tell you what, we are going to be responsible for what we're doing with our Christian walk. You know, I just want to read in closing here in the book of James, while I'm thinking about it. Chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "But no human being can tame the tongue, a relentless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessings and cursings." Notice, brother and sister, I am still talking about, can light and darkness dwell together? Then he goes on to say, James goes on to say, he says, "My brethren," he didn't say sinners, he said, "My brethren, this ought not to be so." What he's saying, blessings and cursings can reside within a Christian believer, and it can come out in the form of words. Light and darkness do dwell together, don't they? He didn't say on the tip of the tongue, it said in the tongue, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's inside of us comes out. We can bless God and we can curse men. Blessing and cursings are dwelling together. Think about it. My time is up, but I want you to continue to tune in. I'm heard on Saturday at 12:30 in the afternoon. I'm heard on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, and also Monday nights and Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. So don't miss one broadcast, and we'll see you then.